We now begin Maseches Bechoros. This is the general introduction. So, Bechor means firstborn, Bechoros firstborns. And the Torah identifies three types of firstborns, all of which are invested with some kind of Kedusha, sanctity. And that Kedusha comes all the way back to the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim, the Exodus of Egypt, when Hashem, in the 10th of the 10 plagues, did Makos Bechoros. He killed all of the firstborn Egyptians, as well as their animals, but he saved the Jews and their animals. And because of that, the firstborn Jews and their animals, as I'll describe in a second, are invested with a certain kind of sanctity that Hashem sort of set them aside. Now, the three categories, if you will, of Bechoros are Behema Tameya, a certain category of non-kosher animals, specifically be Chamor, a donkey, Behema Tahora, those are kosher domesticated animals, of which we're talking cows, goats, and sheep, and Bechor Adam, firstborn people, Jewish boys. Now, the pasuk which demands their psukim, that demands a number of them, but for starters it says, Kadeshli kol Bechor Peter kol Rechem b'vnei Yisrael. Sanctify for me every firstborn, that's Peter kol Rechem, the one that opened the womb, b'vnei Yisrael, ba'adam uvehema lihu, whether you're talking about people or animals, they are to Hashem, says Hashem. So from that, we see there are really going to be three criteria which are common to all three categories of Bechor, whether you're talking about donkeys or cows, goats, sheep, or people. Number one, it has to be the firstborn. Number two, it has to be a male, meaning if a person's firstborn is a woman, female, I should say, then there won't be a Bechor. Or similarly, if any male is born up first, won't be a Bechor also. In addition, it has to be that this firstborn male was the Peter Rechem, the one who, so to speak, opened the womb. So that means that the child was born, or the animal was born, in a normal way, as opposed to what Chazal referred to as Yotze Dofen. Yotze Dofen means comes out from the side, what we would call a cesarean section. So if the person's removed, the animal's removed by cutting open the side of the mommy and taking it out sideways, if you will, so that is not going to count as a Peter Rechem, and that, even if it's a firstborn, if it's a male, will not be considered to be a Bechor that has Kedusha and needs pidyon. Now, redemption. Now, all three of these Bechoros are born with Kedusha, which has to be sort of redeemed off pidyon. And the rules how that works is a little different, depends on what you're talking about, okay? So let's talk about the three kinds. The first kind is the Peter Chamor. Peter Chamor, kind of the firstborn male donkey. The pasuk says, V'cho Peter Chamor tifte beseh. Every firstborn, you know, initiating donkey, tifde beseh, should be redeemed with a seh. Now, the word seh in the Chumash means both a goat and a sheep, meaning either or. Further, the pasuk says, ve'im lo tifde, if one fails to redeem the firstborn male donkey, the peter chamor, then ve'arafto, it has to be decapitated, meaning you basically chop its head off from the neck, from the back of the neck down. So what this means is that there's a requirement, it's from the Torah, to redeem any firstborn male donkey, assuming it meets the criteria of being a Peter Chamor. And that means you transfer the sanctity off of this donkey onto a seh, meaning a goat or a sheep. Doesn't matter if the sheep or goat, doesn't matter if it's old or young, male or female, doesn't matter if the goat or sheep is worth less monetarily than the donkey, it doesn't matter. Okay, any seh, goat or sheep of any age or gender, etc., will do. Once it's been redeemed, so then there's no restrictions on either the donkey or the seh. Both essentially are now permitted to be used for any labor whatsoever, and eating, and there's no restrictions at all. Okay? The pidyon happens, the redemption happens, as soon as one transfers it from, like he just declares that it should be transferred from the donkey onto the seh. And that's all you need to do, even if you haven't yet delivered that seh to a Kohen, which is where it's supposed to be delivered to. So as the pinyon happens immediately when one says it happens, but then there's a financial obligation to deliver that seh to a Kohen. If one doesn't have a seh, you don't have a goat or sheep, you just don't have one, so then you could use the economic equivalent of the donkey. So in other words, donkey's worth $100, you could transfer the Kedusha onto $100 and then give the $100 to the Kohen. The pidyon, the redemption, meaning that now the donkey, which is restricted from any benefit, Aser Banat, any benefit from the donkey until you do the redemption, the Peter Chamor. So once you do that, you have the $100 of the seh in your backyard, the now donkey becomes permitted for use, and there's a separate financial obligation to deliver that money to a Kohen. Okay? If one doesn't want to, or fails to, or doesn't, so then there's a separate mitzvah of the Targum mitzvah to decapitate the donkey. Okay? And the veil, the carcass, is also asar bahana. You can't benefit from the carcass either. Okay? So essentially, you need to redeem the firstborn donkey to do any benefit from it, and the redemption animal or money goes to a Kohen. Now, if a donkey, I mean the mommy donkey, or for that matter, rights the baby donkey, is owned by a non-Jew, so then the animal is exempt from pidyon. There's no peter chamor, there's no redemption required. And similarly, if the mommy donkey or the rights the baby are owned by a Kohen or a Levi, also there's no peter chamor, no obligation to redeem it. And therefore, as a matter of practice, whatever Jews have, I don't know how many Jews are raising donkeys nowadays, but if they do, and if they are, so the common practice would be to sort of take a partner with a non-Jew, or a Kohen for that matter, and that way the firstborn donkey would be exempt from any requirements of pidyon. That's important because the halachas of Bechoros really apply bismanas as well. Okay, so they really apply. Now, finally, what about a suffix? So now, since there's two angles here, there's an isser hana'a, you can't get benefit from the donkey until you redeem it, and there's a financial obligation to deliver the, let's say, the seh, the goat, to the Kohen. So let's say, for example, you have a donkey, it has two offspring in its first birth, one's a male, one's a female, and you don't know which one came out first, let's say. You have a suffix situation. So that'll mean that since there's a possibility that the first one was indeed the male, and that's a peter rechem, peter chamor, so then you'll have to misuffic, out of doubt, you'll have to redeem it onto onto a sheep or goat. But in terms of delivering that sheep or goat to a Kohen, that's not necessary, because there, the rule will be that since there's no certainty that you owe a Kohen anything, so hamotzi mechavero alav haraya, the burden of proof rests on the one who's trying to extract money. So if a Kohen knocks on this farmer's door and says, listen, I heard you had a baby donkey, I want my seh, so the farmer will say, listen, maybe I did and maybe I didn't, because I don't know which came up first, the boy or the girl. And since if you can prove it, that it was a boy, you can have the seh that I redeemed it on. If not, not. So that topic, the topic of the peter chamor, is what is the basic first perek of the Masechta out of 9. Then we go on to the bechor behema tahora, the firstborn cow, goat, or sheep. Now, those animals are intended to be brought as karbanos, as a bechor, one of the 8 types of Zvachim is a Bechor, and its Kedusha for the Bechor happens upon birth. It doesn't need to be consecrated. There is a mitzvah in addition to do a verbal consecration by saying Hareza Kodesh to actually declare it, but even if one doesn't, it still is to be brought as a Korban, and it's consecrated from the fact that it's just born as a Bechor, as the Pasuk says, Ach Bechor Shor, O Bechor Kesev, O Bechor Eiz. A firstborn cow, or kesev is a sheep, or aiz is a goat. Lo tifte kodesh hem, you shouldn't redeem them, they are intrinsically kodesh, the kodesh is a guf. Es damam tizrok al mizbeach, ves chalbam taktir isha reach, l'reach nichoach l'shem. They're offered as a korban. They're offered as a korban kudshim kalim, with the sanctity of lesser kedusha. Like a meiser and like a pesach, it must be eaten inside the walls of Yerushalayim. It can, its blood must be offered with a single blood application. And it's, unlike those korbanos, it's eaten specifically by the Kohen and his family. So kind of like truma, meaning it's not kadshe kadshim, so it's not just the male Kohanim and that it's eaten inside the Zara. No, it's eaten by the Kohanim as well as his wife and children and even his non-Jewish slaves. Or part of the household, they all can eat this bechor. Now, the bechor actually comes in 2 basic varieties. Okay, so what's going to happen is that the person who's the farmer, let's say, he is to give the bechor to a Kohen. If he himself is a Kohen, he's actually chayav also, but then he would keep it for himself. And the bechor the one has, the firstborn, goes to the Kohen, but it can be in one of 2 possibilities. Either it can be a Bechor Tam or a Bechor Balmum. Tam means that it is eligible to be brought as an offering, and the Balmum means that it's blemished. Okay? If it's eligible for of offering because it's blemish free, so then the farmer, essentially, wherever the owner is, he gives it to the Kohen. The Kohen then, brings it as a korban and eats it. If it's a balmum, meaning it has a blemish, it can't be brought. So now there's really two, it can't be brought as a korban then, but there are two kinds of mumen, of blemishes. Okay, one is called a mum kavua, a permanent blemish, and one is called a mum over, a temporary blemish. If it has a permanent blemish, so then it's automatically deconsecrated, if you will, if it's born that way. And it doesn't need, there's no pidyon required. It becomes deconsecrated and it loses its, it can't be brought as an offering. So it loses any sort of sanctity it has, essentially all the sanctity it has. So while it can't be used for geese and avoda, it can't be used to shear the sheep or to work the, let's say, cow as like an ox, as a draft animal or something like that. But it can be eaten by anybody, even a non-Jew or a tummy person. It's deconsecrated. Now, what determines if a blemish is a mum kavua or mum over, a temporary or permanent blemish? So that requires a mumcha normally. A mumcha is an expert. This means someone who actually has got expertise both in the halachas of mumen, as well as let's call it veterinary sciences. He understands how these things work. And actually that's not enough. He actually needs to be ordained as an official mum checker, if you will. And that ordination, referred to as yatir, meaning ordination kind of comes in three flavors as far as the Talmud is concerned. You have yore, which is what now they use that term to describe people who are permitted to rule like an iser v'heter issues. Then you have yadin, one who may rule on like money issues, and choshen mishpat issues. And then yatir is to permit b'choros to be eaten. The Gemara says that Rav, the first generation Amora, spent 18 months with herdsmen learning how to determine what's a mum over and mum kavua. But even then, he couldn't rule on it, even though he was Rav and he used expertise on it, unless he had the ordination from the Nasi in Israel. So the lead of the Jewish people in Israel must be the one to confirm this ordination. And in fact, Rav didn't get it from Yehuda Nasi, so he never had Yatir Yatir when he went to Bavo. In any case, so the Mumcha can make that decision. Now, and only the Mumcha. If you're talking about a blatantly obvious mum, in other words, this is a cow that has three legs. Okay, it's clearly blind to one eye or something like that. So then you could have three hediotos, three regular people, convene essentially an ad hoc bezdin and say, yes, this is clearly a mum kavua because it only has three legs. Okay, that also could work. Now, once it is declared as a balmum, like I said, so then it can be whatever it is. If it's a mum kavua, it can be eaten. If it's a mum over, you have to wait. You have to wait to see if it will pass, if the blemish will pass. Then once again, it can be brought as an offering. Now, all that said, nowadays, although this is certainly applicable nowadays, a person who has a cow, goat, or sheep, if it has a firstborn offspring and it's male, the halachas would apply. Okay, but you, of course, cannot bring karbonos. It's no basic mikdash. And therefore, you'd be stuck, essentially, to let this thing graze until it gets an obvious mum kavua, which is, that may or may not ever happen. So therefore, the way it's done nowadays is that if the mother or even a portion of the mother or portion of the offspring is owned by a non-Jew, it's exempt from, it's like pater from the requirements of Bechor Behemah Tahorah. And therefore, farmers today, like in Israel, let's say, so they actually take on like a non-Jewish partner to be a partial owner in the animal, and that will exempt it entirely from the requirements of giving as a bechor. Okay? Finally, if you have a suffix, so a suffix bechor of a behemoth Torah, so certainly can't be brought as a korban. It will still have the restrictions, however, so you couldn't work it or whatever the story is, shear and that kind of thing. You'd have to let it graze until it gets mum, so tira achi estayev, and since a whole animal is one of the devarim she'enim espat limits, too significant to become batel, if you, let's say, had a bechor, this was your sheep, then it goes into the flock with 100 other sheep, and now they'll look the same, you have 101 identical sheep, you don't know which one is the bechor, so all 101 are going to be a problem now, okay? None of them can be used or sheared, whatever it is, until they get obvious moment and can be declared to be no longer eligible. Okay, so now chapters 2, 3, 4, and 5 deal with the halachas of Bechor, Behema, Tahora. The sixth chapter of the Masechta deals with the Mumin, what makes for a Mum Kavua or not when it comes to animals. And then the seventh perek deals with the halachas of Mumin as they apply to human beings. So that really is not a topic that has to do with Bechoros at all. It has to really, but just Kohanim in general. A Kohen can't do the Avodin based on English, if he's a Baal Mum. And if he has something which is analogous to what a cow could have to make it a Baal Mum, and some other things as well. There are additional strictures that go on human beings. So the seventh perek is dedicated to that. Okay. The eighth perek, out of nine, deals with the third type of Bechor, which is the Bechor Adam, a human firstborn. Okay. The human firstborn person, the pasuk says, V'cho Bechor Adam, Bevanecha tifde. Of all your sons, they have to be firstborn male offspring, Peterechem, have to be redeemed. Again, in Egypt, they were consecrated in the first year of the Midbar, the Avodah is being done, whatever is being done by the Bechoros, firstborn men, Jewish boys, men. But after the Chet Egel, they lost their status. The Kohanim, the Shevet Levi, took the place of the Bechor. And ever since then, there's the mitzvah midoraisa to redeem a firstborn Jewish male who's not a Kohen, not a Levi, who neither the parents, father, or mother were the Kohen or Levi, etc. Now, the pasuk says, "Ach pado tifde es bechor ha'adam," you have to redeem the firstborn male, and then it goes on to say, "Be'erkecha kesef chameshes shkalim b'shekel hakodesh." The amount for the redemption is 5 holy shekels, okay, of the Torah. Now, the Chumash's Shkalim is the same as the Mishnah's Salaim. Okay, they're considered the equivalent. So, according to the Cheshbon, a Sela has the weight of 384 barley corns. 5 of those means you multiply by that by 5, gets you to 1920 barley corn weights. The assumption is, Allah says, Lamaisa Allah actually says, we assume that the barley grains are 20 of them to the gram. So if you do the math, it comes out to 96 grams of silver. And that's the requirement. Even Bezman Hazeh, we use 5 coins of pure silver, weighing a total of at least 90 grams. Okay? If you don't have the silver coins, one actually could redeem on something of equal value. Okay? Nowadays, 90 grams of silver is, you know, silver prices vary, but you're looking at like in the ballpark of like 500 shekels, in the ballpark of something like around $150. It's that kind of number. Essentially that's what happens. So the father has this financial obligation to give the 5 silver slime, 5 to a Kohen. Okay, it's really a true financial obligation on the father of this child, meaning if, for example, the father dies without having done it, the estate actually will force them to pay that amount, right? Comes from all the brothers, goes to the estate, it's actually like any other financial obligation, it's an obligation to a Kohen. Okay? The Sforno has a suggestion that the number 5 shkalim of the Chumash is because if you look at the Parshan Erechin, okay, the special amounts associated with people who commit their own value. So the Erech of a male child from 1 month old until 20 years old is indeed 5 shkalim. Okay? The Pidyon HaBen, the mitzvah is to do the redemption of the child on the after 30 days. The 31st day, if you will, that the reason for the 30 days is because we want to make sure that the child is indeed like a Ben Kayama, that he's going to live, you know, like a viable birth. Okay, fine. Now, if one's father failed to do Pidyon HaBen on his firstborn son, then the son, when he finds this out, has to get himself redeemed. So he'll have to pay his own 5 slime, right, to someone to redeem himself. Because his father didn't do it. And the story is told that the Vilna Gaon, the Gra, actually had himself, he re-redeemed himself with every Kohen he met, because he was afraid that the Kohen that he was doing the redemption with wasn't actually a Miyachastika Kohen, wasn't maybe necessarily a pedigreed Kohen, wasn't sure, so he did it every time. Okay? So that is the topic of the eighth parak. Okay, now the eighth parak has another topic as well, which is that a Bechor can be a firstborn, not in the context of Pidyon HaBen, but also a firstborn in the context of the pishnaim, the double portion that a firstborn male inherits from his father, right? Meaning, if for argument's sake, a father has 3 sons, and he's bequeathing, you know, $100. So it doesn't go a third, third, third. The first son gets a double, so he gets 50. And the other two get 25, 25. He doubles other brothers. Now, that's a din in a bechor, but the definition of a bechor is totally different. Okay, when it comes to the like the petarechem, the pidyon haben bechor, we're talking about the firstborn child of a woman. So in theory, a person who had, like, say, two wives could have two pidyon habens to do, one for each of his wives. When it comes to the bechor for the Yerusha, for the double portion, that's the father's firstborn son. So that means there's only one no matter what. Whichever wife has the child first, that's the one who's the bechor in terms of the pishnaim, the double portion, if there is a firstborn son. In fact, that's the one who gets the double portion. The halachas are kind of similar in other ways too. Like, for example, a yotzei dofen, cesarean-born child, is exempt both for peter, both from the pidyon haben as well as for the Yerusha, the inheritance, double portion, which is quite surprising. But if, let's say, for example, their first birth was a stillborn, so then there'd be no pidyon haben, but there would, if the second child is the first viable child, that child, in fact, would be eligible to get the pishan, the double portion. Okay, so that's those topics of the eighth parak. And finally, the ninth parak of the Masechta has something totally different, which is, it deals with the halachas of Meiser. Okay, like Meiser is, like, remember the Karbonos, we have eight types of Zavachim, the five Kachim Kalam, the lesser types is the Shlam, the Toda, the Bechor, the Meiser, and the Pesach. So Bechor and Meiser are similar. Because they're so similar, in fact, in as much as they're both Kachim Kalam, they're both, you know, eaten at the same time period of 2 days and one night in between, they both have one blood application, the Mizbeach, and so on. So therefore, the halachas are very similar, and they're actually taught, the halachas of the Meiser are taught here in Maseches Bechoros as well. Okay, so I think that's a good introduction to the Masechta, and now we'll begin the Masechta in earnest, Be'ezras Hashem.